welcome everyone to our third episode of our podcast. I'm really excited about this one as it's time for us to unveil the film that came top of our list of the top 50 films of the decade by a female filmmaker. Well, the league got together, discussed and shortlisted and voted for the top 50 movies of the 2010s, and we've been counting down on the website for a few weeks now, so please go back and have a look at the other 49 amazingly diverse films that got our attention from the last decade. But right now, I'm happy to unveil our number one, Greta Gerwig's 2017 comedy drama Lady Bird. Lady Bird takes us back to 2002, a year in the life of the titular Lady Bird, a headstrong high school senior in the California city of Sacramento. Lady Bird desires a better life for herself, which brings her into constant conflict with her mother. It's a coming-of-age story based around a director and writer Gerwig's own experiences, although technically it's not an autobiographical piece. The audience sees how Lady Bird attempts to reinvent herself in the final year before going to college, along the way experiencing romance, disappointment, success, frustrations, and eventually self-realization. For myself, when I first watched Lady Bird, I was really blown away by the main performance by Rowan, who really delivers such a down-to-earth performance that captures what it's like to be a teenage girl at that sort of time of in your life. The film reminded me much of my own upbringing and that sort of desperate need to reinvent yourself, hence the reason that I went from Bianca to B. And I just found it such a lovely, touching movie and really played to Gerwig's strengths as a comedy writer. Well, that's enough from me anyway. The League is a collaborative effort, so I brought along a few of my wonderful fellow leaguers to share their thoughts on the film. And without any further ado, let's hear from Aki, who is not only interested in how the film gives an insight into a modern teenage girl, but also manages to draw some allusions to classical literature. So let's hear from her now.
Hello, this is Akiya Kutsunai, or Graven Scribe, on Twitter, here talking about Lady Bird, this beautiful, impossible movie that makes me so uncomfortable because it is so very realistic. What does it mean when you are on the edge of what seems to be the most important everything in your life, when you are in between and trying to decide, what do I want to be? Who do I want to be? Of course, with Lady Bird, where do I want to be? And how will that all come together with college and your family and your friends and everything that is about to change? I love how this movie invites the audience into the experience of being a modern teenage girl. The callback to 9/11 is a little bit jarring, given how far on we are from that particular event, but really taking an unflinching look at what are the good things, going on that home tour with your mother on a Sunday afternoon, eating crackers with your best friend before going to prom, when there's all the rest of the grind of high school and how that's usually not really fun for anybody. I really appreciate how much Lady Bird and her father's relationship is really developed. It reminds me a lot of Lizzie and Mr. Bennet in Pride and Prejudice, who are, of course, very similar with wit. Lizzie is her father's favorite, just as Lady Bird is her father's favorite. But Mr. Bennet is really not a good father in Pride and Prejudice and avoids handling things that could be addressed, definitely, in his household, versus Lady Bird's father does really have a lot on his plate, and he does avoid conflict, which slides all of those difficulties right onto Ladybird's mother's plate, making her the enforcer, making her, I think in her own words, the bad guy, which is not necessarily fair. That being said, Ladybird and her mother are so similar. They just cannot stand each other, particularly right now. And just seeing them orbit and clash and come together again and again and again over the course of this year is very frustrating, definitely, but also incredibly heartening. My main question from the whole movie is, what is honesty? When do aspirations, having the big house, being from San Francisco instead of Sacramento, when do those become deception rather than actual goals? And I feel like this works perfectly with how Lady Bird desires so much and wants so many different things. And from her perspective, everyone keeps intervening in her life with practicality and trying to redirect her and ground her into being reasonable. But no one wants to see somebody else get hurt. And it takes her a lot of the movie to really get a handle on that.
That was great stuff. Really interesting insight there. Now it's time for Kaz, who feels that the soundtrack connected her to the film. Let's hear from her.
Hi, I'm Kaz. I'm one of the writers for In Their Own League. I live in Edinburgh in Scotland, and you can find me on Twitter. My handle is @SheSpoiledIt. What I particularly enjoyed about Lady Bird was the soundtrack. It was the first time that I've experienced the emotional power of a soundtrack to evoke real personal memories. It gave the story a much stronger connection with my own life. The music didn't just reflect a time, it put me back in it. They were songs that an angsty 17-year-old girl specifically would have listened to, like Alanis Morissette singing, "I'm sane but I'm overwhelmed," and "What it all comes down to is that I haven't got it all figured out just yet," in her song "One Hand in My Pocket." Or the slightly dreamy, thinly veiled, risque lyrics of "Crash Into Me" by Dave Matthews Band. But when the song "Little Plastic Castle" by Ani DiFranco started playing, I was immediately 17 again, listening to that cassette for the 1,000th time on my Walkman and going through all of the turmoil that 17-year-olds go through. And I guess that immediate emotional connection is why nostalgia films are so popular. It's just that 17-year-old girls in the late 1990s and early 2000s haven't really been the subject of these films before. And it makes me wonder whether this is a feeling that women have been missing out on for all of this time.
Great stuff. Now it's James reporting in from New Zealand, who takes a look at the adult supporting cast.
Hello, my name's James Kane. I'm reporting in from Auckland, Aotearoa, New Zealand. You can find me on Twitter @LatteThunder. This was the first time I'd seen Lady Bird since the cinema, actually. I still really loved it. It's possible that I appreciate it more this time round, just because, you know, I've had a couple of years to ruminate on it. And, of course, Beanie Feldstein has become a household name since then. Saoirse Ronan, of course, has just gotten bigger and bigger, particularly with Little Women about to come out. Sorry to age this podcast. Whilst, obviously, first and foremost, a story about a young woman finding her way in the world, I really loved this time round, much more than the first, about how it shows that there are adults trying their best, despite the fact that they're complicated people. They've been complicated people since they were Lady Bird's age. You know, you've got like the PE teacher, for example. Now, he's brought in fairly late on in the game to teach a play. He's not able to change his teaching style to teach the play, and it leads to some very funny moments, but he gets the job done, and he does it with such a passion and a care, and he's really into it, and he really gives a damn about students. And then his predecessor, the drama teacher, who's had to step away, you know, he was dealing with unspeakable trauma, and he was getting way over his head because he cares about doing right by students. You've got the elderly nun who is presumably, I believe, the principal head teacher. she's working hard to guide these young women in an institution as patriarchal as the Catholic Church. More than anything, you know, you've got the parents played by Laurie Metcalf and Tracy Letts. These are two very complicated people. You know, she's passive-aggressive and she's just about hanging on, and he is thoroughly depressed. He's lost his job. But life's messy like that. The film goes to great lengths to show that you don't become a better person just by becoming a parent. It's about the effort that you put in, and I really like that. Like, the Christmas morning scene where they're giving out gifts, and Laurie Metcalf's mother is saying about how she, you know, she doesn't want it to be such a small Christmas, but, you know, times are really hard and what have you. And she's apologetic about the socks that she gives to Lady Bird. But Lady Bird loves them because she realizes her parents are just trying their damn best. And life is messy like that. And sometimes you can't give your kids the Christmas that they want or they deserve. There's the scene where Tracy Letts' father goes for a job interview with the guy from TV show Love. And it's a great scene because it culminates in his own son coming in for the same job interview. And it's heartbreaking, but he loves his son so much and he wishes him the best and he gives him a hug. And then he suggests they go eat Doritos in the car. So yeah, that was the aspect of the film that I particularly loved this time round. If you do like coming-of-age stories, I have a plug. If you check out the Forever Young Film Club, they do a lot of great work about coming-of-age movies. It's run by three amazing young women. And if you're in London, then you can even check out their events where they watch coming-of-age movies, and it looks like a fantastic time. My name is James Kane, and you've been listening to me ramble about Lady Bird.
Thanks for that, James. Now, next up is Joan, who joins us, contrasting her own Catholic school upbringing with that of Lady Bird's.
This is Joan Eamon, and I'm sharing my thoughts on the film Lady Bird. Like Lady Bird herself, I did attend Catholic high school. Mine was on the East Coast, hers is on the West Coast, and I did not enjoy it either. Not as badly as she hated it, but I did not have a good time. I was more of a Jules, which is Lady Bird's best friend, played by Beanie Feldstein, than a Lady Bird. Smart, but socially awkward, and no social life whatsoever. Not quite a Marion as a mom, though Laurie Metcalf's portrayal was just stunning. Totally could relate to her and how she holds her family together through difficult times, and how she's has a sense of just quiet disappointment in her life, trying so hard to interact and keep it together. But, you know, when she goes through the houses with Lady Bird on Sundays, visiting open houses of houses for sale, you just know that her heart's breaking quietly and she's holding it together. And, you know, Lady Bird gets what she wants and her determination to get it, which is to go to a prestigious college on the East Coast. She gets that from her mom. She gets that wanting more from her mom. And even though she apologizes for it and they clash about it, and maybe even Marion resents her a little bit for it, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And her dad says so. Her dad is fantastic. Tracy Letts, who I just saw in Ford vs. Ferrari as Henry Ford, absolutely awesome as the dad who's so dignified and warm and funny, and yet he's grappling with depression and despair, and he's suffering from being closed out of employment from ageism, which is totally something relatable. He's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant portrayal, and it's really nice to see his career just quietly evolving. You just see him stepping into roles now more and more, which is nice. I really, really loved Beanie Feldstein. In a lot of ways, I think Beanie Feldstein walked away with this movie. It's more of a Jules movie in some places than it was a Lady Bird movie, but awesome, awesome, quietly supportive, and yet really firm in what she wants to, and gets firmer and stronger as the movie goes on. It's just really a stunning portrayal by Feldstein as Jules. Overall, I thought the film really kind of skipped along the edges of maybe being a little cliche at times, but truly loved it.
Now, to show that this isn't just a film that resonates with women, let's hear from Josh.
What Greta Gerwig was able to do in Lady Bird was make me a Latinx male from the East Coast, see myself completely in a white female from Sacramento. Every feeling Lady Bird had in the film is what I harbored at some point in my young life. From the feeling of not being rich enough to hang out with rich Catholic school kids, to hating my hometown. Every single character in this film is someone I recognize from my childhood. And while that comes from Gerwig's writing and direction, I believe the empathy truly comes from Saoirse Ronan's performance. The character of Lady Bird has the opportunity to become a very annoying character for the audience. But Saoirse is able to continue to make Lady Bird someone the audience wants to root for, even when she tends to be unfair to her family and her situation overall. I think it works so well, and I was floored the first time I watched it. And on subsequent viewings, it has proved to be one of those films that I will watch often for the rest of my life.
That was great. Thanks for sharing that with us, Josh. Now, here's Nicole, who is able to use Lady Bird to facilitate her understanding of both her high school self and her high school friends.
My name is Nicole Ackman, and Lady Bird is one of my favorite movies. I even have a large poster of it in my apartment that my co-workers at my last job gave me as a parting gift because they knew of my love for it. Lady Bird is a really warm and personal and heartbreaking movie. It's incredibly funny and also tugs at your heartstrings in a way that makes me cry every time, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. It feels like really one of the realest reflections of my high school experience that I've ever seen on film. A true coming-of-age story for a girl, which of course we don't get that often. Coming-of-age stories are most often reserved for boys. But I really appreciated that Greta Gerwig managed to capture the experiences that I had in high school. It feels like everything in this film, if it wasn't something that I experienced, it was something I had watched a friend experience or go through. In truth, this movie actually helped me understand some of my friends who had or have difficult relationships with their mothers. I'm lucky in that my mother and I are very close, I suppose. We're a bit closer to the character that Saoirse Ronan plays in her latest movie, Little Women, Jo March and her mother, than we are to Lady Bird and her mom. But it really did help me kind of understand friends that I had seen go through some similar things. I think that, for one thing, the way that it captures the high school theater experience is perfect. I was that theater kid, much like the character that Beanie Feldstein plays. And I absolutely love everything to do with that Merrily We Roll Along production that we see. I think that every member of this cast is incredibly amazing and perfect for their role. Truly, one thing that has stood out about both of Greta's films thus far is her perfect casting. Beanie Feldstein is hilarious and wonderful and such a rising star, and she is so great in her role. Timothée Chalamet and Lucas Hedges play Lady Bird's two love interests in the film, and they kind of perfectly represent the two types of boys that I myself was interested in high school, unfortunately. I think that Lucas Hedges is so great in this role, and obviously he has gone on to do some amazing things, but I think that this was something that really put him on a lot of people's radar, and I think that Timothée Chalamet is just perfect as I think many of us knew this type of boy in high school, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who, for better or for worse, probably for worse, was attracted to him. But I think that what's so impressive is that Timothée Chalamet and Saoirse Ronan have perfect chemistry. I really think that they are one of our greatest pairs of actors, and if they go on doing films together, could have the same sort of legacy that, you know, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks have, or even more perhaps Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy. I think that they really have a beautiful chemistry that works really well. Which leaves, of course, I have to talk about Saoirse Ronan. I'm a little bit biased in that Saoirse Ronan is my favorite actress. I loved her in Brooklyn and kind of fell in love with her then. But she is so perfect in the role of Lady Bird, and it's something that I think could feel overly precocious or trite in the hands of a lesser actress. But she manages to put so much humanity and so much empathy into this role, and she makes her feel really real and like someone that you could have had in your high school classes. It's incredible to me to think that this was Greta Gerwig's directorial and writing debut. I am so excited to see what she goes on to do as a director and a writer, and I have to give this film 5 stars. Again, my name is Nicole Ackman, and you can find me on Twitter at NicoleAckman16.
Next up, we've got Larry from LC Screen Talk, who kindly took the time to give us his insight on the film. Let's hear from him now.
Thank you so much to the crew over at In Their Own League for inviting me to speak about Lady Bird. My name is Larry from the channel LC Screen Talk, and I'm so excited to be a part of this wonderful list of the 50 best female-directed films of the decade. And here we are at number one with Lady Bird, directed by Greta Gerwig. And what a film this was. Only knowing Gerwig as an actress up to this point, Lady Bird introduced me to a side of her that I enjoy, I think, more as a director than as an actual actress. Her voice rang true through the story of Lady Bird herself. Saoirse Ronan, of course, delivers a stellar performance, and Laurie Metcalf delivers what I would consider a career-defining performance. What I think is so special about Lady Bird as a whole is that connection between mother and daughter, and the really authentic way it's depicted in this film. It's messy, it's dirty, it gets grimy, but there's also love there. There's passion and there's a connection that really worked for me and I think was the strength of this film. And that script is so witty, it's so sharp and intelligent, really elevates the rest of the material. Now, I wish I connected to it as deeply as so many others did, but the impact that Lady Bird as a film has made was certainly felt throughout film at large, and served as a great announcement point for Gerwig to show off her talent as this director we've all come to love at this point. And I can certainly see why it was voted in as the number one female-directed film of the decade. Once again, thank you all so much for inviting me on, and I can't wait to hear everyone else's thoughts on the film.
Okay, so hello, everybody. First of all, I'm really glad that Lady Bird got picked to be our number one film, because it deserves it in just so many ways, which I'm gonna say now. So hello, I am McKay Watson, and yeah, Lady Bird, I did love it first and foremost for its very authentic and unflinching portrayal of female adolescence. It handled this with the kind of authenticity that we normally don't get in films of this nature. I suppose off the top of my head, I can think of films like A Walk to Remember and A Cinderella Story with Hilary Duff, and those were just overly saccharine and safe and sanitized, but this was completely antithetical to those films, and that formula for that matter, in how it was set in a place that, you know, many Americans have the reality of living in the middle class. It's very in the same vein of films like Edge of 17 and Diary of a Teenage Girl, which, story-wise, were very similar. I thought the Diary of a Teenage Girl was more risky, especially with regard to handling an adolescent girl's sexual awakening. Perhaps if anything this film lacked, it would be that, which isn't anything wrong, per se. It just goes to show that Lady Bird herself just, you know, wasn't, I mean, it is broached with the Timothée Chalamet character, but it isn't done as graphically as the other film, and nothing wrong with that, I suppose, you know, different people, and she is, at the end of the day, a very fully realized character, which moves on to this quote I remember from late film critic Roger Ebert, where he calls film a machine which helps you feel empathy for someone, and this film understands women, I believe, so well at that age. I've had many a conversation with women who said that they felt so seen when they saw this film, and I can only imagine that this being Greta Gerwig's debut as a solo writer and her first film to direct, this is what happens when we get to see stories from people who we don't normally get to hear stories from. This is what happens when original stories, aside from, you know, cinema nowadays is so saturated with Marvel films and remakes and book adaptations. And this isn't anything of the sort. This is a personal story that of Greta Gerwig, and one that I've heard was quite autobiographical, maybe semi-autobiographical. And it just details beautifully the painful process of growing up. This Lady Bird character has so many contradictions to her. She's got big dreams, but in spite of that, she's a bad student. She craves her mom's approval, but yet can't wait to leave the house. And it truly is just an empathetic look at her. It takes an empathetic look at her despite her shortcomings. She's a complete and utter jerk to her best friend. She's a complete and utter jerk to her mom. She is absolutely insufferable in some parts of this film, but she's never not fascinating. If I were to give this a recommendation, yes, I most certainly do, but I don't recommend this to just women. I think that people of all, you know, all different kinds of people, even, you know, men would definitely get something out of this, because it's, at the end of the day, it's a film about a kind of human experience. And if we consume stories about the human experience, the more we know about each other, the more we know how to treat each other better and be more sensitive to our fellow human being. Politeness goes a long way, and with empathy comes politeness, and movies that promote empathy like this one, you know, putting yourself in the shoes of someone else, are ones that I completely approve of. And I think Lady Bird is absolutely stunning and worthwhile checking out, and I believe that it truly did deserve the number one spot that we could give it.
Next up, we have Ali, who is the director of the fantastic Catherine Upside Down. Let's hear from her now.
Hi, this is Ali Lucas. I am the director of Catherine Upside Down, which Bea so graciously interviewed me about and wrote about and reviewed. And they asked me to do a little commentary on a wonderful film that came out, I think it was a year ago, Lady Bird. And so I'm just going to give you guys my thoughts on it. One thing that I really love about Lady Bird, and I've seen a rise of this lately, and I'm sure we all have in independent cinema in particular, is the rise of the quote-unquote unlikable female character. For some reason, you know, if you think about cinema in previous years, you know, women were always expected to be so happy-go-lucky, so likable, everything, always a smile on your face, you know. Even if you think about a dark film like Rosemary's Baby, you know, this character is always happy, even in these insane circumstances. So with something like Lady Bird, you know, she is unlikable, but we see so many male characters in film that are worshipped for that. And I love that now this mold is being broken where these female characters are crossing into these male characters, and they're all kind of becoming more synonymous, in that what's wrong with liking a, you know, an unlikable character, especially when they're sympathetic, they're intelligent, they're just dealing with maybe some things in their past that have, you know, bothered them, or however they grew up, in particular with Lady Bird, you know, having a bit of an identity crisis. You know, you can see it even in the beginning of the film where she doesn't want her, you know, birth name. She decides to change her name, give herself her own identity, kind of separate herself from the way that she grew up. But we see so many wonderful notes in her character, that she's such a warm-hearted person. You can see it in her relationship with her friend and her relationships with the men that she's in the film. I mean, she truly seems to care, and she wants to make these relationships work out, and they don't, and it's kind of heartbreaking to watch it. But at the same time, we see so much empathy coming from her, in particular with Danny, when he comes out to her and how she reacts to that. And she's willing to forgive the whole situation and continue being his friend. So I love the film. It's, you know, a slow burn. It's a beautiful, you know, picture of a young girl's life and how she's shaped to, you know, when she becomes older. I love that it takes place, right after 9/11, and how that contributed to her getting to New York. And, you know, it's, she's kind of got, you know, a life that's was a little bit tragic, and then, you know, she's not afraid of anything. She wasn't afraid to go to New York after that tragic event, and she's takes risks, and she is such a great example for young women and how you can, you know, become yourself, find your identity, and, you know, you might not find it through the popular kids, and you might find it in a unique and interesting way. So it's a great film. I totally urge everybody to check it out if you haven't seen it yet. It's amazing. And here's to the rise of the unlikable character. Let's make them likable, and I hope we get to see so many more of these types of characters. So thanks for letting me give my thoughts.
Last but not least, let's hear from Kirsty. Finds that a second walk necessitates a reappraisal.
This is Kirsty Strauss. I'm one of the writers for In Their Own League. I'm from Maine in the United States. You can find me on Twitter at Strauss_Kirsty. So when Lady Bird first came out, I felt it was a little bit hyped. It made it so the first time I watched the film, I had a certain level of expectation that honestly I think was a little too high, and that may have affected my initial response. However, I still think it was overwhelmingly positive, just not to the same degree as others. However, upon rewatching it recently, I think I appreciate it a lot more. I notice a lot more details and nuances, and I think some of the best cinema comes from those careful observations and details, sort of the subtleties of human interactions, and I think in this way, Lady Bird succeeds. It's a very intimate film, and you know, not without its flaws, but I think that's on point given the fact that Lady Bird herself, you know, is, you know, impulsive. She's bratty at times. I mean, she's just like you'd expect any teenager to be. And I think you really get a feel tonal-wise for that character's journey. And one of my favorite aspects of the film is the relationship between Saoirse Ronan and Laurie Metcalf, the dynamic between mother and daughter. And they're exquisite in the film. But they're both so hilarious, and despite always seemingly at war with one another, you know, have a similar sensibility, and it makes them both charming and stubborn, even with their many differences. And I think the relationship on screen and that delicate balance of comedy and drama within the writing by Greta Gerwig delivers an intriguing perspective on the coming-of-age story, but also of family. I mean, there's a lot of characters outside of Lady Birds that are doing their best, and many of these are adults, at maneuvering life's challenges. And the quirkiness of the character and her desire to fit in and escape is something we pretty much have all felt. But Greta does so in a way that encourages an independent and strong female voice, which I think is a big part of Lady Bird's legacy. And I think that, you know, a big part of why this is so successfully resonated with people is because even if, you know, exact details aren't relatable, this kind of coming-of-age film, especially, you know, when it's done as well as this one is, you know, makes you feel certain things. And that could be, honestly, as an adult or someone watching it who's the character's age. There's something that you can connect to there. And I think that kind of flawed and beautiful experience of growth and, you know, pain and just transition is something that's always going to stand out in film. It's always going to resonate. I think that upon watching, I mean, I love the movie more, and I really look forward to Little Women and anything else Gerwig has to do, because I think as she continues on, she's just going to get stronger as a director.
Great stuff. Thank you so much for all those who have contributed on the podcast. But not just to those who contributed to the podcast, but I also want to extend my thanks to those who cast their votes, who helped write the 50 articles on the website, which I encourage you to go and check out, like, now. And I really have appreciated the hard work from the In Their Own League team, who really do bring some excellent content to the site and are really amazing. And I just want to say how grateful I am to all of them and all of our supporters as well. I really hope you enjoyed this discussion today, and you know what? It would be fantastic if you could give us some feedback, whether it's via Anchor voicemail, our Twitter, which is their league, a review on your favourite podcast listening platform, or via comment on our website. And if you want to support us in any other way, please take a look at supporting us via Patreon. You can find all the links of these in the episode description. And I want to thank you once again for listening, and I really hope you join us for the next episode. And I'll leave you with a message from Lady Bird herself.
Hi, Mom and Dad. It's me, Christine. It's the name you gave me. It's a good one. Dad, this is more for Mom. Hey, Mom, did you feel emotional the first time that you drove in Sacramento? I did, and I wanted to tell you, but we weren't really talking when it happened. All those Bens I've known my whole life, and stores, and the whole thing. But I wanted to tell you, I love you. Thank you. Thank you.
Take care, everyone, and happy holidays to you. And here's to 2020. Let's make this the year for the league. Take care now. Bye.